Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me today. My website is www.jbsba.com. And don't forget when you get there to subscribe to my free newsletter. And don't forget all the other cool things you can do there. And as you know, I consider it to be entrepreneurial nirvana. It's a pretty unique website, folks. So check it out. Lots of things to do. Read the articles. Listen to archives. You can hear the show that we do every day for 24 hours. It's up all the time. And the Friday show is up all weekend. Oh, check it out when you get a chance. And don't forget, we got a new section there. The books, resources, and products that we recommend link is on the left there. That's a whole suite of the things that, of the books that we've talked about on the show. You can go and you can find out more about them, the book, the author, and including most of them have an archive, at least one archive that you can go and listen to a little bit about them. So it's just a little bit of an extra value added that we offer to you to help you get the resources that I know you want for your to help you grow your small business. One of the guys who's there is a guy named Brad Huskin, who's our guest this half hour. Brad's an old friend. He may be the only guy in the world who's more of a grizzled old salesman than I am, and he's been doing this a long time. He helps companies all over the country, halfway around the world, to take their products to the marketplace. He's the author of a brand new book, Munchies for Salespeople. He's our good friend, Brad Huskin. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
It's good to have you back, as always. And how does it feel to be the only guy who's more of a grizzled old salesman than me?
I'm not sure what grizzled means, but I'll take it.
Hey, Brad.
Got a lot of miles on us.
Let me tell you how I define grizzled, and you can do the same thing. Look in the mirror.
Yes. You're exactly right.
Congratulations on the book. We've been telling folks about this for a long time, and you've been threatening this book for some time, and I've got the copy in front of me. Thank you for the autographed copy, and I'm excited about it for you. It's really pretty cool.
Absolutely, I'm very proud of it. I'm very happy with how the foreword turned out and all those kinds of things. And you might want to tell them who the foreword is by.
Well, you asked me to write that.
Oh,
I'm glad to contribute. It's my pleasure. I'm proud to have my name attached to this. Brad, one of the things let's get into some sales stuff. And one of the things I think is important for us to talk about right now is something I know you work on with your clients, and that is using the telephone to prospect. Things have changed, haven't they? It's a new world, isn't it? We're not in Kansas anymore, are we?
No, we're not in Kansas anymore, and it is a new world. And with the no-call list and all the restrictions that are put on people, I think it's come to the point where we got two problems as far as a salesperson is concerned in using the telephone or from a business owner standpoint. Problem number one is the customer doesn't want to be called anymore, and then you got problem number two that the salesperson doesn't want to make the call.
So why even have a call program?
Well, it seems like it's an insurmountable problem, but it really isn't when you really think about it. And the whole name of the game today is to get the customer to ask you to call them. And once you accomplish that, then the salesperson is more readily accepting of making the telephone call, and the customer is readily available to accept it.
So once they've called you, that's sort of like what we call in email marketing, that's permission-based now, isn't it?
Permission-based marketing, absolutely.
Basically, and so permission-based marketing is not just about email. It's also about calling. A lot of people don't think about that. But at the same time, just like email, because somebody gives you permission to contact them, doesn't mean you have permission to abuse it.
No, it certainly doesn't. And that's where, I just say to these people, and especially in the retail marketplace, that everybody's looking for their buddy in the business, and it's up to you to cultivate that relationship. And if, in fact, the customer said, well, why don't you call me when you get the next shipment of goods in, or why don't you call me next time this is available, then you're free and clear to call the customer, and you've got a purpose behind the telephone call. call, and the customer will want to listen to the call and actually start to help you develop a lifelong relationship with them.
How about this, Brad? Somebody, you know, you've got a customer that you've made contact with. They've come in your door, they've called you up or whatever. And what if you said, Ms. Jones, we really appreciate your business, but from time to time, we have things that are available right here. Something comes in that's on sale or whatever. We kind of, you know, now that you've been in business with us, we know a little bit about what you like. If anything happens like that, anything comes up that we think you might be interested in, can we give you a buzz and let you know about that?
Well, that's exactly the point.
We come back after these messages, Brad. I want you to comment on that. I want you to tell us what you think about that idea.
Okay.
20 till. We'll be right back with our good friend Brad Huskin, the author of Munchies for Salespeople, Sales Tips You Can Sink Your Teeth Into.
It's a beautiful morning.
Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Brad Huskin, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. And Brad is the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD. That's just the last book, in addition to the new book, Munchies for Salespeople. Brad, tell us where they're available, please.
Well, right now you can just get them off my website, which is www.iastraining.com.
Iastraining.com.
Exactly.
All right, sounds good. And what else will we find when we get there?
Well, you're going to find my free newsletter called Sales Insight, which is actually where the book Munchies came from. That's
right.
The first 125 of the Sales Insights. So I've already got my next book kind of being developed, which will probably be Munchies 2. My training programs, audio tapes, videotapes, in-store, live training and all those kinds of things.
These are things that they can do virtually, right? I mean, you don't have to be in front of them to take advantage of it.
No, they can order them online and bring them in, listen to them. We just released everything in CD format and DVD format. Kind of trying to keep up with the technology of today.
Well, I like what you're doing because, as you know, you and I have talked about this before. One of the biggest deficiencies small business owners have, and sometimes in years past it wasn't their fault, but now it kind of is if they don't get the training that they need for their people, because things, sales training and customer care training and other kinds of training is available in bite-sized increments and pricing for small business owners. And so, folks, I encourage you to check out Brad's website, and you really will be able to find some things there that will help you to be more successful at iastraining.com. Okay, Brad, let's talk about the idea that I had about that I mentioned earlier before we went to the break, that, you know, when a customer comes in and we say, can we contact you about some new developments, some new pricing, if we have a sale, if we have a new product, or something along the lines of what you're interested in. What's wrong with that?
Well, that's exactly how I'm saying that people should do it. If a customer comes in, you say, boy, you know, every now and then we have some real special events around here. I want to make sure you get a personalized invitation. Would it be okay if I called you a couple of weeks before the event to make sure you're available? Or new merchandise coming in, or we've got this special going on, pre-season this, pre-season that. And the whole idea is to get these small business owners to give their people a purpose behind the telephone campaign. And if they have a purpose, then they can start laying the groundwork with their existing customer base, asking for referrals. Who else do you know that may be interested in this service, this product, or that product? Actually get the customers promoting the business for you.
You know who does a real good job of this? Car dealers.
Yes, they do.
Car salesmen do an excellent job of this. When somebody comes in, they get that information, and they follow up with you. And you know what? These guys have done a good job for me before. I mean, I'd go in and they wouldn't have what I wanted, and I'd say, look, next time you have a demo that comes off, it's got 3,000 or 4,000 miles that I can save a little money on, give me a call. 6 months later, I get a phone call. Maybe I'm interested, maybe I'm not, but I'm glad to hear from them.
Absolutely. And following up on that promise is another essential component, that if you tell somebody you're going to call, you dang well better call.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What now? How would this? How would we use this in other industries? Now you work with the jewelry industry and the hospitality industry a lot, don't you?
Jewelry industry, the emotional businesses, furniture, shoes, apparel, musical instruments, those kinds of things. And you know, if a guy plays the piano and he's buying a piano, then chances are pretty darn good that he hangs out with people that play the piano. And that's what I mean about referrals, is that, you know, in the jewelry business, if one guy out of a group of five or six guys that's that's been hanging out together is getting engaged, chances are pretty good two or three of his buddies are getting engaged as well. And the same thing works for women.
So do you ask for referrals?
Absolutely. Who else do you know that may be interested in this, that, or the other thing? Would you mind giving them one of my cards? I'd love to meet them and talk to them as well.
You know, car salesmen offer what they call it, rabbit fees or something. I forgot what they call it. There's some little term that they use that if you send them a referral, they'll send you a little spiff.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, we used to call it bird dogging.
Yeah, maybe that's what they call it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the car guys call it anymore,
yeah.
But it's the same type of concept.
Yeah.
That, you know, they actually reward people for the referrals. And I like the idea.
How do we reconcile the don't call list with what we're talking about right now?
Well, and that's where I think a lot has been made of the don't call list, but I really believe that if you get your customer willingly giving you their phone number, email address, or whatever the form of media is that we're going to follow up with them, then it's not a problem anymore. But if you're calling just randomly, unsolicited, that's where you get into problems.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so the idea is if you buy a list, if you pick up the Chamber of Commerce members list, you just start dialing people up. You can get yourself into a crack there, can't you?
You can get yourself into a world of trouble.
Don't call list, folks, doesn't just apply to the big telemarketing companies. It applies to everybody, doesn't it, Brad?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely it does. And
I've got some friends who are realtors, and it's really they've always done it. They've never been really abusers of any of this, but it's really caused them to have to pay attention specifically to the way they reach out and touch prospects.
Well, they got to rethink their plan. And for example, if you're asking permission, like you and I just talked about, and the guy says or the woman says, you know what, I don't want any calls, just email me.
Yeah.
Then we're using that vehicle as our own internal no-call list.
You
got to
have both. Many companies need both of those elements, the phone call and the email. Quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Brad Huskin, the author of Munchies for Salespeople. Intel, stay with us. Back at 7 till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're talking about contacting our customers, reaching out and touching our customers and our prospects primarily by phone, and how to reconcile the don't call list with reaching out to these people so we don't get ourselves in trouble. And the best way is through permission marketing. Get permission to contact these people. And you know, write down on a card. Brad, what do you think about this? When you talk to somebody, write down on the card, Mrs. Jones gave me permission to call her at 3:45 on March the 29th or whatever. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. And if you look in my first book, there's actually a form there that I believe people should use. And it's called a customer profile form. And get the customer to fill it out. Get them willingly to give the name, address, telephone number, email address. There's a line on there that says, can I contact you, contact location, and then you can transfer it to your computer database or whatever you use, or just use a manual system either way.
And shouldn't you say, now, Ms. Jones, we understand about the don't call list. We don't even know if you're on it or not. That's not important to us. If you give us permission to call you, we can, but please know this. We will never abuse the permission that you've just given us.
And we never sell it to anybody.
And nobody never goes anywhere else. And folks,
exactly.
Don't, when you say that, don't do that.
Straight strictly internal use
only. When you say you're not going to sell your list, don't sell your list or give it away. When you say you won't abuse it, don't abuse it.
Absolutely. Yep. Integrity, ethics, all those things that we've always been preaching.
Absolutely.
It's very important when it comes to the telephone.
What? But the thing about it is a lot of people, a lot of salespeople, as you said earlier, don't want to call, do they?
No, they don't.
Why?
Well, it's because they, you know, salespeople always fear rejection. And the main reason for the rejection is that they haven't personalized it. And, for example, if I'm talking to Jim Blasingame and I say, well, what other special events do you have coming up? And he tells me his anniversary's in June or whatever, and that they're taking a ski vacation up to Vail. And then I call in 3 months and I say, hey, Jim, how was that ski vacation?
Yeah.
Suddenly Jim has a whole different perspective on the relationship that we have together and is more likely, more willing to accept a telephone call and to continue to do business that way. And it's just, you know, I keep telling people, developing friendships in business is no different than developing friendships in your personal life. If you just look at it that way, then you'll take a different approach to it.
Is calling their business different from calling their home?
I don't think so if you've got the permission. And if you know their peak hours and when they're not available and you've gotten a time and, you know, you've given them the two-option option, which is another telephone technique. Should I call you Monday or Wednesday? And the guy says, well, call me Wednesday. First thing in the morning would be best. And you better call Wednesday first thing in the morning. But I assure you nobody's sitting back waiting for our telephone calls.
And shouldn't we also immediately say, you know, hey, this is Ms. Jones, this is Jim Blasingame. Have you got just about a half a minute? Shouldn't we say something like that?
Well, and I preach that there's three things you need to tell them in the first 10 seconds. That's who you are, why you're calling, and what's in it for the customer. And asking permission again, is, like you just said, is essential. Do you have a minute, or is this a good time?
Well, also, shouldn't you sort of remind them if it's not abundantly clear that they'll know who you are, shouldn't you remind them? You know, you may remember that you dropped by our shop about a couple of weeks ago, and we spoke about this thing that you were interested in, and you told me it would be okay to call you when one of these things came in.
Yeah, that would be that third reason, what's in it for them.
Yeah.
You'd ask me to give you a call a couple of weeks before this or this or this. So it's putting the burden of the call back onto them and reminding them exactly what you talked about in the past.
Well, it drops their defenses, doesn't it? Because they'll then be reminded of the fact that they actually did say it was okay.
Absolutely.
And then get to the point and get to the point, make your point, and get off the phone.
Yeah, nobody wants to spend an inordinate amount of time on the phone. We're all on the phone too much anyway, so. Or on our computers. So.
Well, and also, shouldn't you have like a quick call to action? Can I email you, or can I send you over something, or you know, when would be a good time for you to come by and look at what we you know, what I told you I'd call you about? When some kind of a call to action, quickly, just to get them to you know, maybe give you an opportunity to take some action, and then get off.
Well, the commitment I believe is threefold. It's either for an appointment, face to face appointments. It's either to make a purchase at the time of the phone call, or it's to get the customer to accept you sending some type of information to them.
Right. Brad, and all this has to happen in the 21st century. All this has to happen after permission. Brad Huskin, give us your website one more time.
It's www.iastraining.com.
The new book is Munchies for Salespeople. The author is Brad Huskin. He's our good friend. Brad, thanks a lot.
Thanks,
Jim. See
you next
time.
Talk to you next time.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, all business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. See you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.